What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Hi there, listeners. Welcome back to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. We hope you had some good gaming in between now and the last time you listened. If this is your first time listening, welcome to the table. Like I said, we are Filling in the Gaps Rerolled, and we're not an actual play podcast, but we're a podcast that hopefully helps you get to the table to actually play. We are three DMs who roll on a list of themes and scenarios in order to come up with a random new session or campaign, maybe a one-shot, that might inspire you. With that said, let's introduce ourselves. My name is David.
I'm Sam, or aka Mambo. I'm your second host of this episode.
And I'm your third, Malcolm. Hello there.
Hi.
Also, I feel like I should acknowledge at this point, we've been calling ourselves three DMs. I haven't DM'd in quite some time, and I've been a player for a little bit. It's just a confession I want to get out there, but I feel like it should be acknowledged that that's not what I do all the time. I write a lot of stuff. I just, yeah.
I DM mostly right now. I am, if you want to hear my voice some more, I am the DM for the Bardic Inspiration podcast. We are going to release soon, probably by the time this airs, hopefully, once I get my editing done. But yeah, I also play in a bi-weekly game that's not recorded, and I play a 15-year-old hobgoblin.
It's old for a goblin.
Yeah, in this one, they kind of age like humans, so.
Oh, okay.
I do a lot of DMing. Some of it's on like play by post in Discord, which is pretty fun. But all of my like in-person games, I'm the DM, and that's either in like Pathfinder or, Torg Eternity.
I have mixed feelings on Torg.
A question, not to throw us off, but how does play by post work? 'Cause it seems like a good idea, but like
play by post is really nice. Basically, there's a couple different ways that it works. There is, like, scheduled play-by-post time, where, as the DM, you tell your players, okay, we're gonna jump on and we're gonna play at 5 o'clock on Friday. And it's basically just a normal game, but instead of voice, it's all text. There's also kind of the constant play, where you kind of set up a certain number of post requirements in a day, so, or a week, depending on how quick or slow your group wants to play. So it can be like, I'm going to DM you, and we're going to take, like, you can respond once a day, I'm going to post some stuff. And you can kind of figure out just playing like that. And then it's basically just like a regular session, but a lot slower. Yeah, that works, Malcolm. And then the third one takes a lot more work and a lot more people. They're called Living Worlds, where essentially, and I've seen this mostly done in Discord, but a lot of forums in the past did it as well. I think Discord is just a really good place to do it. You jump on and it'll have like, for instance, one that I was in before was based in a certain city called Absalom. And basically each district had its own set of channels of buildings in the city. And because there were enough people, you could just kind of jump into a building and role play your character going there and hanging out and meeting with other characters. The server itself would have a ton of DMs, and they could just generate quests and like put on a job board, hey, we're going to do this. And you could actually run it during that time.
So it's like a MMO, basically.
Kind of, yeah.
Very cool, very cool. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail, but I was just like... I tried to join one over at DM's Treehouse. They had a wrestling one going on, and I was very confused.
Yeah. I never heard of this before, so I'm really into this idea of a, like, that sounds really cool to have, like, multiple DMs and people. It's kind of like everybody working together for, like, a common cause. It's super chill.
They're very, very cool. And a lot of times there's, like, there needs to be some homebrew rules every now and then, just to kind of make sure things are kind of cohesive. Usually, in order to create a character, you just make it on either like a Google Doc, or Mythweavers has a like form fillable sheet that you can share. And so you'll send that in, and then DMs on the server will kind of review it and then decide, or chat with you to kind of make sure everything's up to par. And then
that you exist.
Yeah. And then you're pretty much free to just jump in. A lot of it is interaction between players. DMs will run, like I said, like quests or events in the server that people respond to.
So this is giving me an idea. What about the four of us having our world type thing in our Discord? And the filling in the gaps? That could be fun.
I don't know if you guys want to share a world with me.
Well, we each control part of it, you know?
Well, last time I controlled a world, I made a device that let people teleport things to the moon. A Tarrasque got loose, and they teleported it to the moon.
Could be fun.
It was very upsetting for me, because I wanted them to fight the Tarrasque, but they sent it to the moon. I'm not over it.
I guess that's a safer choice.
No, it definitely was smart. I let them do it because it was smart, but I'm still to this day like, they have my Tarrasque on a moon. It's probably dead because they need air. But yeah, so that's... I'm not always super careful about how I design my worlds. Something that I both like and dislike about Torg Eternity, or it's Eternity, right? Or is it a different one? Yeah, it's Eternity. Is I like the concept, I just don't like the way they do clashes, though it makes sense out of how it would work. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know, Torg Eternity is a lot of dimensions coming together, and you're able to kind of have the go to the past, or go from a steampunk world to a D&D world to a cyberpunk world to a Planet of the Apes. Like, and the way that these things don't instantly kill each other is that the world, you say you come in with like a machine gun from cyberpunk world into D&D. Well, you shoot your bullets at people, they turn into arrows because the world can't handle the fact that you brought something foreign into it.
Kind of.
Which... yeah, that's my understanding of it, but that's an oversimplification for sure. But it's definitely interesting, and for those who are for it, yay, I'm all for it. But I always found it more interesting to be like, no, it's still a gun. You have a gun in D&D now. But there's people who can just blow you up with a fireball. Like, you're not as durable as a D&D character is, but a D&D character has never dealt with a gun before. So it's like you have a weird balance that way. My issue typically comes with the idea of like changing how that thing interacts with you versus having it just be that you have a new experience of, oh, that doesn't belong here, but it's here now, and it's going to stay here unless someone's to take it back. So
the way that it works in that game, basically there's kind of like the rule of the multiverse. It's called the Rule of One, and it basically wants everything that's in its own universe to stay and remain. And if you are from that like cyberpunk world and go to the dinosaur world, sure, because you're... like, you have a connection to reality, and like that you're a Storm Knight, that's what the player characters are referred to as, you're able to, like, hold on to that gun, but if you set the gun down and walk away, the Rule of One will eventually turn that into a bow and arrow, or it'll turn it into whatever the equivalent is in the reality, because it wants that reality to be convergent. And so, that's really fun with characters, because when you roll a nat 1, you disconnect. So you lose your connection to your reality. And then you have to roll again to try to reconnect. If you roll another nat 1, there's a chance that you just swap. And so you need to remake your character in the reality that you messed up in.
So I like that. That's really cool.
Go from being like this cyberpunk character to being Tarzan.
So the
or Tarzan-ish.
That's cool. So if you roll, let's just say a nat one, and then you re-roll, brings up the question to me, Malcolm, shall we roll?
Oh, an excellent question. Let's do it. All right, let's get to the dice.
Today, I'm rolling my lovely level up dice made from some precious stone. It's a light blue, and my lovely girlfriend, who, if you're listening, I love you very much, gave to me for Christmas.
I have my very same blue dice that I've been using for a while for this podcast that my lovely self bought for me. So no one buys me dice, nor do I want them to. Because
now, the real question, though, Malcolm, is do you love yourself?
I would say yeah. most days, most assuredly.
Okay.
Let's see what we got here. I think I'm on themes, right? Yes. Okay, so I'm themes, and that makes you scenario, Sam.
Great. I rolled an 18. We roll in high and mighty today.
I rolled a lovely, lovely half of yours, 9.
So,
what we got?
David, tell us what we got.
All right. So, our theme today from Papaya Warrior is zookeeping. And our scenario, brought to us by Alvin, is murder mystery turned real murder.
This is always... When I first saw that one on there, I was like, how do you do that? And I think... So sometimes here at Filling in the Gaps, we like to step outside of the typical D&D space. And I think this is one we're going to have to do that to.
I think, I know we were talking about it earlier, but I think we have to go with the Torque. Is it called Torque Universe?
Torque, yeah. Torque? The other role-playing game. That's how I heard.
Torque. I think this is great. We're in a zoo world. Zootopia. Or Zoo Tycoon, perhaps.
Okay. Well, we'll get...
Sorry. I just... this thought came into my mind. And then they're like doing like your typical fundraiser. And this is like... murder in the zoo night, where they do like murder mystery dinner, where it turns to be real murder.
I was thinking, so once upon a time, to this day, I don't want to say I won't forgive this DM because he didn't do anything wrong. but he set up this great campaign where he got a ton of like political figures together. Not real in the game, political figures together, and we were all diplomats, so we're all in a room together, and he had this very eccentric guy in charge, and I was like, oh, I know what this is. He's gonna close the doors and go, all right, now murder each other, ha ha, and it's like gonna be something like that. But just doing something like that is my instant thought is do that like at a zoo, or you have like a fun thing again, like you were saying, kind of a fundraiser. I'm thinking we keep this pretty human, pretty normal, and then it's just, oh, hey, such and such has been murdered. And then later on, it's like, no, really, such and such has been murdered. We don't know where they are. We don't know where Daphne went.
Oh, I like this. It could be that you're working with that person, Mr. Body or whatever, and they're like, okay, the plan is I'm going to pretend to die, be murdered, okay? And you're going to find who the murderer, because they're going to be like, oh, well, I wanted to murder him, you know, type thing. But then, like, he actually gets murdered. So now your party is like, oh, we have to find a real murderer now. And we were the last ones to talk to him. So we look like we're the murderers.
Small tweak, I would suggest, is that you have it be that the other guy knows he's going to get murdered. But you don't know that if he's in character or not. So it's just like, if I get murdered, here's what you do. And it's like, okay, this is for the game. And it's like, look, because they're not going to be like, I'm really going to get murdered. Maybe it's to help stop something or to keep something from happening where it's like, I know I have to die to get these things, to get this to happen, to reveal such and such and get this person caught. But it's like, look, if I get murdered, here's what you have to do. Kind of, I don't want to spoil that movie. That's the problem with murder mysteries. I can't reference things, but there was a certain mystery movie that came out that had the plot of, hey, if I were to die, this is what I want you to do. And then later on, that person dies, and so that person's like, I'm doing everything that they said to do, and it turns out to reveal, oh, this person's the person who killed them. Like, it's a thing of that nature, where it's like, oh, okay, you have it be that it's, I don't want to use the word inevitable, but like, a thing where it's like, in case I've made a lot of enemies in my time, this person's probably going to get me, and if this person gets me, I know how to reveal it was them. You know?
Yeah, kind of like Knives Out-ish, if you've seen that movie.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, I mean, that's not spoiling anything.
So, what I first thought of with this one, and it's going to, we can totally roll back, because it might derail it. We talked about, like, different systems to play this in. Have you guys heard of Call of Cthulhu?
Oh, yes.
Have I heard the Call of Cthulhu? Not lately, my good sir, but...
This would be awesome for that.
Because...
Yeah, this would be...
I like the idea of this fundraiser that starts. And I like to play on words, so zookeeping here. At a certain point, while this, like, fake game is going on, you would notice, or your players would notice, that all of the animals are just kind of watching. And basically it turns around, and what was a murder mystery game that a person was running now is being run either by an animal or by some creepy force that's playing a game where people are actually dying in the zoo.
Oh, this is like the chimp unlocks himself from the door and walks out and says, "Welcome to my game." One of you will be murdered tonight.
That's great. You get like someone with like an animal name or something that sounds kind of like a Mr. E type thing, where it's like Mr. a thing Ed. Where you can. Well, I was thinking you could have like even not like an elephant, but like a thing that's like a big animal. A big animal of some sort that can walk out, walk on its two legs. You could do a chimp still. That would be fun. That would be creepy. And just have it walk out and be like, "Oh, yes! I've been expecting you." And it's like, is it... This could also then, now we're talking with talking animals, could also work back in D&D again. Thank you, David. Because I know it a little bit better than Call of Cthulhu. So I might operate more in that space. But
Call of Cthulhu is basically just real world, except there's creepy things in the dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always wanted to play Call of Cthulhu. I've never gotten a chance, but the sanity...
Maybe we should play that together one day. That'd be kind of fun. But, yeah, having it be that this chimp walks out and goes like, "You're in my game now. There will be a murder." Like, you have it start off with, it's like, "Oh, we're going to play murder. Ha ha ha. Somebody's going to be like dead and blah blah blah."
And this animal and comes out be, and interrupts the rules.
Yeah, it could be that this is the... Like, it could be one of those murder mysteries where you don't know who's an actor and who's not.
Yes, I was just thinking, like, the host, who's ever running it, say you're in the zoo, and you're like, "All right, headkeeper Smithers is running the game. Go to like to the event hall or the party room, you know, where like they have the kids' birthdays type thing. Go there, and it starts in like 20 minutes. As you're waiting, you know, you're able to like bop around, your players get into the role playing, the lights go out, the lights turn back on, and all of a sudden Mr. Smithers' body is laying on the floor, and in his pocket is, can you figure out who killed him?" And they're like, "Oh, this is when the game starts, blah 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 blah," and then like the clues just get worse and worse, and you go back and someone checks and he's actually dead. Or like maybe they solve the puzzle already and you go back.
Maybe it's super easy, super kid friendly.
Yeah, super kid friendly, super easy. And then all of a sudden the head zookeeper Smithers is dead. And now that's when the chimp or whoever, whatever animal you want, or Cthulhu himself comes out and says, now the real game starts.
I love the idea that this takes place in, like, the middle of the day. So, like, oh, yeah. Coming into this murder mystery, your party sees, like, tons of people just out enjoying the zoo. You go into, like, a room, you have the first part, you're like, oh yeah, we solved it. Oh no, this is a dead body. And you go outside, and then the zoo is empty.
Oh, yes.
I love that. Yeah. I was gonna say, I'm a bit more explosive with action, a little more theatric when it comes to some of the stuff. I was picturing it, same kind of thing, but kind of giving away that the chimp is not afraid to murder people. Having it be that while the guy's giving the rules, you have it that he, like, Mr. What are we calling the chimp here? Mr. Smithers? Mr.
I think some zoo chimp name.
Okay, so we have Chips come up. Chips comes up and just brutalizes the thing, then looks and goes, welcome to my game. There will be a person murdered here. And he looks down and goes, like, not this one, a different one. You have to find that one. And, like, it's a thing where it's like this brutal butler-esque character.
Oh,
because that's always fun. But in chimp form, who's just like, yeah, no, yeah. And he'd be like, yeah, you gotta solve this, you gotta solve the murders. And he's like, otherwise, I'm gonna let, so, he's like, for every hour you don't solve it, I'm gonna let an animal loose, and that could kill another person, so you gotta get solvent on who's down with this.
Yeah, and you have, like, each animal has, like a giraffe's tongue is, like, suddenly super elongated and is, like, hanging people as it, like, whips its neck or nips its tongue around someone's neck and, like, just pulls it up.
You said,
my poor giraffe.
You said chimp form,
so much.
And that immediately got me to thinking of, like, picturing a scene. So maybe at some point the players turn on the chimp and, like, try and kill it. And they're able to, because it's a chimp and multiple people can team up. But then one of the other animals nearby, it just, like, you hear its joints pop. And then it stands up on its hind legs and it kind of bends out of shape and talks in the same exact voice.
Oh, okay. So this is giving me...
Oh, yes.
That's not how I play this. My game.
I love this. I love
that body. Why would you do that?
There's a movie called Fallen about this fallen angel that jumps from human body to human body, and it can't get into this one guy's body because it can't touch him. Or it's not, I can't touch him. It's like, there's something about him where it's like, I don't know why I can't get into you, but I'm going to find a way and I'm going to make it happen. And so the whole movie's about this, like, thing going, like, I'm going to, like, figure out why I can't get into your body, into your head. And so you have, like, a creature like that kind of, like, and that works, again, really well with the Cthulhu-esque setting of, like,
it's this outer entity this that being, possesses animals.
Yeah. Yeah, that can just jump from thing to thing, and it's just like, no, don't do that. And it's like, you can murder all the animals, but then only you are left, and I want you to think about that. Like, the thing of, like, hey, I'm trying to... And what could be interesting is if this thing... Because we're making it out to be the villain, clearly, and it will be the villain, but it doesn't have to be, like... pure evil. It can try to show them some knowledge or some, like, thing, some hidden truth, and be like, this is what I wanted you to see. Like, oh no, people had been killed here for 29 years and nobody knew, and I am the ghost of one of the people. Like, it's it can be a thing of that, and then you actually, again, have the real mystery involved in the murder mystery part.
Oh, I think it should be, it's revealing, like, the cruel... I love that, Malcolm. Like, it's revealing the cruelty, but what if it's, like, the vengeful spirit of an animal that was, like, abused and straight-out murdered in the zoo, and since it's been going on for so long, now it has the power, and it, with Cthulhu's help, the ability to enact on its vengeance. So now it's holding its own game, holding the players and other NPCs in a cage, which is the zoo. And then I think if you do the Call of Cthulhu system, you have plenty of options in a zoo to show, like, creepy images or flashbacks, so they have to roll on the sanity table. Like, I don't know about your guys' ears if you have one close by, but mine has like this. Mine's one of like the third oldest zoo in America, and you can't really change anything because it's a historical site now. So a lot of it is very old and outdated, and you can like feel that at some point some animal was not treated properly here.
Yeah.
So if we are keeping this with Call of Cthulhu, there's another Lovecraft creature. Or, like, deity that I think would fit really well here. It's, like, passing name is called the Black Goat of the Woods with 1,000 young. It is known as Shub-Niggurath. And I'm going to drop a image of what it looks like, because it's terrifying.
I'm going to have goat eyes staring at me, and I'm ready for it.
Oh, no.
Well, that makes me a little concerned that you said it like that. Oh, there, you dropped it in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sure looks like a goat.
And hang on.
It's download. It's this, like, terrifying, multi kind of body horror-ish thing. And you could really play that up with the animals kind of morphing so that they can talk to the players.
We have that. You could... Oh! I just saw the picture. Yeah, you have... Well, that's... I was about to say, I know we use gods a lot, but it's because they're very convenient. There's a reason it's called a Deus Ex Machina. It's God the Machine. But the thing is that for this, I feel like a spiritual thing, very Avatar-esque, you could have it be that it's just like a being that is like... Look, I am here to represent them because they're going to keep being injured and hurt here if you don't do something. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's a thing of the animals kind of turn on the people in similar ways. Like you were saying before, having the giraffes kind of like attack, but maybe it's like instead of like they whip them with their tongues because the giraffes are whipped or something. Like you have different things where those things happening where you have the animal cruelty being done back to the people to go like, hey, do you get it yet? Like, and that can be the thing of the beast. It's not, again, it's not a thing of like, I want to hurt you. It's a thing of like, you need to understand. And I don't know how else to show you at this point, because I've tried to show people and they won't see. Like, you could have, like, a crazy janitor who's like, I know that you can't do nothing with them animals. You can't be touching them. I got visions in my head. And you're like, that guy's crazy. But then
that's the only later person on, in the it's zoo. Like,
he's the only it's the first person it talked to who was like, oh, no, I get it. I'm not going to mess with the animals. Like, I used to feed them. Then I learned that they do that stuff, too. I said, I'll take a job cleaning up after. I ain't going to touch no animal. Like, it's the whole thing of that, of, like, I am now separating myself.
He's the nighttime janitor that gives all the animals treats and stuff, and like gives them good pets. But like he seems crazy, and everyone's like,
"He's Ben Stiller." Ben Stiller from Night at the Museum. It's just,
oh, that's great.
That or Kevin James from Zookeeper. Oh,
I forgot that was a movie, and I want to throw up.
No, I got it. That's the character's name, is Benjamin James. Benjamin James, the zookeeper. Yeah, no, you don't mess with them animals. That's bad. You don't want to do that. He's always trying to tell people to treat the animals better, but nobody listens. So even when the stuff happens, like you have just different points where like the whatever it's possessing, when it walks by, it's just like, oh, hi, Ben. And I go, oh, you better do it.
Yeah, I think that'd be good. Like,
or he, like...
There's, like, a scene maybe in the beginning where the old crazy guy is, like, they're, like, feeding giraffes or something. And he's like, oh, they don't like that. Leaves. Nope. Not those ones. And they're like, oh, shut up, old man. And they're just feeding him, like, the wrong leaves and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. I like that a lot. I think that's a good narrative point and quest giver.
And then he's also a fun, like, little lighthearted thing, so it's not completely just... Because I know Call of Cthulhu gets straight to dark. Like, Lovecraft had a lot of, shall we say, issues? But his creations reflect that in the sense of they're really, really dark. And oftentimes very hopeless. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to have a hopeless campaign, you might not want to include Benjamin James, but
it's good to have that point of brevity.
Yeah, if you have like a levity. Character who's like, hey, I'm, yeah, brevity or levity, briefness or lightness, to break up the monotony of like, oh yeah, there's a murder going, like, and that could be, he can be a fun character, he could tell you things. Because, again, he won't just be there for the purpose of, like, oh, I'm here to be, just joke. I'm here for, like, actually, like, oh, did you know that giraffes don't like they don't like those leaves? I tried to tell these other people, but that's why they got attacked, was because they tried to feed them the wrong leaves earlier, and they didn't like that. They like peanuts, or, like, these things, and he, like, pulls out some treats. Like, you can talk to him about stuff, and then...
Yes.
At different points, you can kind of bring him either along with the party if you wanted to. There could be certain stuff he's just like, I don't know, I always did this. And it's like, maybe that thing actually doesn't work because he's like, I'm not... Just like how you're not friends with everybody, you don't know everybody at like your school or work or whatever. It's like, you don't know them to the best degree. You might know a passing amount of info, but he might be able to be like... your hint system of like, I don't know, maybe like pet them, maybe they like that. Like,
so what if he is the one that dies halfway through?
I don't want to hurt him. He's so
and
nice.
And that becomes the mystery. As creepy as this place is, just an idea. The animals are now like, who killed Ben? And now you're taking quests from animals. And it could be this vengeful spirit who is just anti all humans, even the one who has helped many of the animals around, like, you know, just an idea of
it. No, that's creative too. I really like that. I was taking it a little differently originally. I was viewing it as, from what you were saying, I was viewing it as the thing of, okay, Ben's dead. Ben was the person, so kind of like the first draft of it we were talking before, where he's the person set up and actually gets murdered by somebody. And then the spirits are like, no, he was the one good guy. Figure out who did that. I'm not having this, like, type of thing.
Yeah.
And that's what's causing things to be crazy. But I also like the idea of the animals
giving the quest and stuff.
That could be what kicked this off.
To cook, cut you off or anything, but I think
it depends on how
you're playing this one. If it's just a 4-hour game, I think go ahead, have Ben as your narrator, talking point, whatever, and have go up against this evil guy, evil spirit. But if you're gonna do a longer one, killing off this character just provide like that's a sanity check right there. You find his mangled corpse, you know, destroyed, and then all of a sudden, the bird next to you is like, who did it?
Like, oh, that's great.
That could also be what kicked off this whole thing, is he was like the only person who cared for the animals, and he gets either mistreated or killed by someone in management. The person who's running
the
murder mystery fundraiser.
I like
that. And so your party sees him around, and most people ignore him. But...
what if it's an accident? Like, it's supposed to be, like, the thing of... you know, like, they do something... since we're in Cthulhu times, we can have electricity and stuff. Maybe there's some water on the ground you didn't see. And it's like a thing where it's not meant to be a death, but it's supposed to be a murder mystery. So everyone's just like, whoa, either this is really high tech stuff here, or maybe something went wrong. Who did this? And it's like, well, management didn't make sure he was safe, or like in these situations, maybe he fell down some stairs and people are like, no, he was pushed. And it's like, no. So you don't have an answer that's going to satisfy the animals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or you have like the oldest animal in the zoo is the one that witnessed it. And as the game progresses, one of your characters or all of them realize that they can like hear the animals' voices. And the creature that you are fighting now is that evil creature. He's the one who took over the zoo. And he's performing experiments and whatnot on. So your fun murder mystery fundraiser you went to is now turned into a large-scale investigation on said owner of this zoo who is like, you know, mutating the animals tycoon. Or, you know, news breaks out every once in a while that a chimp has died in the zoo and it's very sad. And it really, he's like manipulating their bodies, seeing what will happen to them and then sending the results back into space.
Oh, kind of like an alien even. Ooh.
Yeah. Or whichever like dark, Cthulhu kind of confuses me because I'm not sure if it's an alien or if it's just some kind of god or whatever.
It is the unknown is Cthulhu. That's the whole thing. It's like you never Perfect. Know what it's where it's from. So it's just...
Love it. Just before I forget this idea, we could do a special like mini-series of this between the four of us and run that. Record that.
That would be fun. That would be fun because I've never played Call of Cthulhu, so I would want to. Mm-hmm.
Has anyone DM'd it before?
I've listened to a few podcasts of it.
So, I mean, what we could do, I know this is in the middle of an episode, so I apologize, but we could just roll a d4 and whoever it rolls on will be the DM and the other three people will be the players. And we could do a little special, you know?
This would be a good one to be interesting, because it seems like all three of us have very different ideas of where we'd want to take this, even with slight deviations. Normally, our slight deviations kind of lead, but in Call of Cthulhu's world, I'm noticing details really matter, so the fact that it's like a god would act very differently if they're slighted in a different way in this universe. So it's just, makes sense. It's interesting to see what we'd come up with and how different those adventures would be. I'll admit, I don't feel too comfortable running it, but if I got rolled, expect Same. For it to be real weird. and if we release that, that would be like a fun thing.
Stuff. But yeah, back to the episode.
Thank you for listening to our short ad break about a possible future project that we're working on, maybe. Who knows?
If you want to hear it, let us know. Retweet or tweet that tweet.
Yeah, tweet at us or Discord us and we'll have a discussion about it, probably, maybe.
But yeah, I don't think we have to flush this one out 100% because Cthulhu is so unknown in general.
Well, it's the thing of, it's a mystery, so it depends on...
Right.
I guess that's, well, do you want to do Scooby-Doo or do you want to do Knives Out or do you want to do a real mystery staring at Knives Out? I'm so mad at that movie.
I personally kept thinking about Clue, the movie, with the multiple endings, because you could have it where they're like, okay, we finished this mystery, and then all of a sudden something happens where they see like everything flash before them and they're back at that quote-unquote saving point and they're like, what just happened? And now it's like, oh, find out the other ending.
I was actually thinking a lot more. I think that putting together the final thing, keeping within the Call of Cthulhu world here, it needs to be a sanity roll. I view it kind of like the end of... is it Reservoir Dogs? I know it's at the end of Scary Movie, but I can't remember what Scary Movie's parodying there. But it's a movie where they go... and have it be that at the end, they're like, they drop something and it breaks, and then it's like, all the things flash before them again, and they're like, that's the answer. So if you have it right, you get to have that scene. And that'll be your way to know you have the right ending. Because they'll be like, oh, the evidence like flashes before you. And then if you get it wrong, it can be like a sanity roll, and then you get pushed back. Because I feel like there needs to be a big, like a big, I got the answer, Mr. Chips moment, where you like walk up to the now gorilla because you killed the chimp. Or orangutan, where it's like, oh, aww, yes, you brought me the answer. And it's like, yeah. And then it's like this, and it's like, no. And then it's like, throws you back in time, and you're back to the thing, and you're like, what just happened? And it's, and it's like, I don't feel good, but I feel like we didn't do that right.
I love the image, Malcolm, that you just gave to me of that if you do kill, like, the possessed animal, the next form is stronger. So I know some parties would go into, we just have to keep killing him until he runs out of animals. But these animals just keep getting stronger and stronger to where it's like, now it's a bull elephant. And they're like, okay, maybe there's more to this than what we're murder. Doing.
Murder may not be the answer. Maybe I can't murder Hobo my way out of Call of Cthulhu. Maybe this is a different type of game than D&D.
And like every time this creature transforms, they have to roll a sanity check to really amp up. And then if all the players go lose their minds and ultimately you can't complete this session or this game, that's the curse.
That's Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes me wonder, for the jumping body to body thing, is it a thing of like their minds can't comprehend? Because normally with Call of Cthulhu, with the increased insanity, it's the fact that new information's being presented, right? Like it's something different that's happening that's scaring them into losing some of their sanity. It's not the repeated thing unless it's like, you know, a color that you cannot see and understand. Like it's, yeah, but it's a thing where you go, okay, I've seen it before. Like, this, in this case, I don't know if that would work for it, if only because it's like, oh, I get it. It's a monster that jumps body to body. Unless it does something specific.
Well, what I was envisioning is what I think David said was, you hear, like, the bones snap,
mm-hmm.
and, like, and it like you basically
it likes to walk like a chimp.
Yeah, or like
not on 2 feet.
So you see an elephant's like whole body reconfigure and form into a bipedal.
Walks on two legs! Oh my god!
Yeah, so you see this in front of you, and it's like,
that's a sanity check.
That's a sanity. Or like it, like say it goes into an ostrich, and this ostrich now has like a person's backbone, and arms have like formed out of its wings. And now you're just like,
okay.
Oh.
Now I see why that's a sanity check.
Yeah, like you see,
Call
like
of Cthulhu,
kind of like you see like the bones underneath the skin crawl and creak and form, and you're just like, oh fuck.
So what would the actual mystery that the party is trying to solve be? Are they trying to like appease the animals, or are they trying to undo whatever this connection to Shub-Niggurath is? So that it's not like a cursed place anymore.
I would say undo the curse, which would be find, in my mind at least, it's finding the abusing like past of the zoo and provide a better future for the animals. But you could also go with how do you pronounce the name of it?
Shub-Niggurath
is the one controlling the head zookeeper. And he is the one torturing the animals. So they have heightened their spiritual level or somehow gotten into these powers where it's trying to solve out who's doing the abusing to them.
You could have the janitor die with like a stone of animal speech. So that way you could just go around. So that way the animals don't have to naturally talk. If you wanted to do it that way, if you want to do it with that other version, Sam. But yeah, if you want to go with David's version, they can talk because Cthulhu is an awful, awful game full of nightmarish concepts, including talking animals. But yeah, having it be that this, like, thing is... This thing's really versatile, because it can go either way. And I think having it be that... the murder itself... I think that there should be an element of it where solving the murder the original murder mystery is part of it, because that teaches you who set that up, who then would be in the position to actually commit the real murder that you would then have to solve.
And?
So you have to play the dumb, stupid games of like, oh, how many letters are in the light? And it's like, oh, God, I have four eyes but never see. What am I? And it's like, ah. Oh, there was a guy who died here. I don't have time for this.
That's really good.
So it's like, you have the, like, and that's jolting within itself, to have the very, like, light and friendly gameplay mixed with the very, like, dark and devious story of, like, no, someone was murdered, and you have a ticking clock before whatever happens, before this, like, angry creature, being God thing... takes its vengeance out on you, or before it's just too late and you lose your mind. Like, you have less time, and you need to figure this out. And you can go, again, lots of directions with this, so this is really fun. Guys, I'm noticing that we're, like, the gothic version of filling in the gaps. If our commercial ends up actually happening, where it was like Frankenstein, that was a really good predictor of what we became. Yeah. We're like filling in the gaps after dark. It's just dark. It's just scary.
I mean, it's fun.
Yeah, no, I love it. I'm just noticing that it's like almost every week it's like murder. And it's like, oh, well. Whoops. Filling in the gaps on edge. But yeah, we doing it this way, you have a chance for a lot of different things. You can, the only thing I think is that you can't really keep this one light. I mean, there is a light equivalent, but then you're not playing the Call of Cthulhu version.
Oh yeah, this is to scare the pants off of your players, creep them out.
You can definitely roll back on, like, gore and body horror and just make it creepy rather than horrific.
But then where's the fun of that? Like, come on. Yeah, this one's really strange. This one's definitely a weirder one. I feel like you could do some really interesting things with how creepy you make it, too. You can have, of course, movie Split makes a point to show that there are tunnels and different things underneath the zoos. There are areas where people can live and be trapped and be stuck, and different things and different cages and different things you could do with it, where it's like, maybe this is where some of the stuff goes. Maybe people are trapped there. Maybe animals are trapped there. Maybe there's all sorts of stuff that are down there. Maybe there are people who are down there who have been like, you don't understand, I know what he wants. And it's like, okay, what does he want? And he's too crazy to tell you what the answer is. Like, you can have these ideas of all sorts of different encounters. Like, what are you guys thinking for encounters? So let's throw that out there. We haven't exactly done that too much for this one, so what are you guys thinking for encounters or fightable things?
I'm not really sure how encounters work that well, but I would definitely have encounters of other zoo guests. Definitely help save them, getting out of locked doors, getting into offices type of things for research. If they get trapped inside of like the alligator pen, or having like a sentient walking school of piranha.
Oh God. Like, you have to grow little legs.
Oh man. You go into the rainforest exhibit where you walk over the bridge and there's like the real waterfall. As you walk over it, just this giant humanoid shape of a thousand piranhas looks dead at you, dead in the eye, and say, "I'm hungry." And it just,
oh no, it's got a smile first with that big piranha smile.
And they just go to attack.
That's really
that's
good.
That's something I would
I was thinking, when you said rainforest, my instant thought was, well, you have a bunch of normal frogs there. Then it starts to get the green, like, it's normally like a greenhouse they're in. It starts to, like, shine red, and the frogs shine red, and now they're all poisonous.
Oh, I don't know if you've seen the movie. It's a really great movie, Pan's Labyrinth. There's a scene.
It's on my list, and I've been meaning to watch it, and I'm mad now because I could have had this reference understood beforehand.
And it's
dang it,
it's super gross. But the main character has to like retrieve something from the inside of a giant frog's mouth, and it's just this big disgusting toad, and that would be something really cool to make your party do too.
I'm in for it. Not in real life, in the game. I don't want to stick my hand at a big toad. But yeah, okay, we got that. I keep thinking about cheetahs. I don't know how cheetahs are involved. I just keep thinking about them, though.
They're on the loose.
You guys got any?
You got to run from them into, like, the next safe area.
Oh, yeah, classic, just run.
I think everywhere you turn, like, whenever you look behind you, you see their eyes shining, and that's all you see of them.
Yeah.
Oh, they're like Michael Myers. You never see them run, but they're always there. Oh, I love that. It's just they're constantly just following you, and you're just like, it's cheetahs in the background, and they never get any further away. They only get closer.
Yeah, I think you can also have that spooky moment of, like, a kid swinging on a swing on, like, one of the playgrounds at a zoo. And it's just, like, what is this? No one else is around, but it's just swinging, and then all of a sudden it's, like, you look back and it's gone.
That'd be... Oh, okay. I don't know how long we're running, but let me check
real quick.
We got time. What about... Okay, what if it's, like, showing the life and times of this zookeeper to give you, like, a storyline for it? So it's, like, you get to see him as a kid on the swing set, and that's why he disappears, because that's not real. That's a memory. And so it's, like, you go to these different things and see how this person grew up at the zoo. Or if you wanted to keep our good boy Ben dead, you have Ben. You have him be real nice, and then it's, like, here's the life of this guy who grew up in the zoo and grew connected to them. And that's why the animals are trying to show you all the stuff. It's like, do you get it now? He was the one good person that was holding back all our rage. Now you see that our rage is justified and that we will break free and destroy humans now because they murder. That's all they do is take. And it's like, oh. So even when you solve the mystery, it's not a thing like, haha, we did it. It's like a thing of like, oh, now I just feel bad. And they're still going to kill everybody. Oh, no.
Fuck.
It's called Cthulhu, baby.
Oh, that's good. That's exciting.
Yeah. I'm scared of giving you ideas.
I am excited to play this game, though.
I would... Okay, spoilers for the audience, depending on how much we keep in. Our boy David has decided to run this for us, so we'll probably record it. You guys might get to hear/see it. I don't probably hear, right? Yeah, we're not going to release a video. Maybe. Well, there's YouTube. Well, maybe. Well, who knows? Then we can definitely wear costumes if it's for Halloween. That'll be our first reveals of who we are. Is this in costume? Oh, great.
Okay, well, I think we are just about ready for the recap and synopsis. So for today's episode, what we've decided is your party has joined a fundraiser at your local zoo, and you walk in. It's a nice little silly murder mystery that the zookeeper is putting on to raise money. As the game kind of goes on, you notice that it's not exactly fake, and someone dies. As you're trying to figure out what's going on, one of the animals approaches you and lets you know that you're in its game now, and you need to figure out how to appease these injured and angry animals of the zoo in order to get out alive.
Alrighty, I think I've got this. Okay, I gotta do two voices, so that's what I'm like, eh. Okay. Your party accepts an invitation to a murder mystery that they have been looking forward to for quite some time. It's Call of Cthulhu's universe, so you know, things are probably gonna go wacky, but right now, things feel pretty good. Every story starts with a happy beginning, and that's where you're at. You open up and go into this big auditorium where you see a man dressed in a fine suit with a top hat and a monocle, really doing it up the old murder mystery style.
Good evening. I would like to welcome you to the Game of Murder Mystery. Tonight we'll be solving who killed.
And before he can finish the word killed, he is attacked and neck snapped by a chimpanzee who catches the top hat and goes,
"Who killed Benjamin James? Hello, and welcome to,"
as he puts the top hat upon his head,
"my game. You'll be solving that murder, not this one."
And he walks up the stairs, looking down at all of you.
That last line, "You'll be solving that murder, not this one. I did this one."
I love the concept of, like, because I feel like all intelligent life has to have some sense of humor with it. Like, if you were like, "Oh, hey," well, it's like, "Well, no, I don't want you. I know I killed him." Like, don't. Because if you just said, "Oh, solve a murder," some party member would be like, "Oh, you did the murder, probably. You did the murder there." And it's like, yeah, no, that's not what happened. So you would have this thing be like, "No, I know. I want you to figure out who killed this person because I liked them. And this is going to take you on a trip." So, fun. This one's going to be so weird to play.
Yeah, hey, I'm going to have to go out and buy Call of Cthulhu now. Hey there, listeners. Thanks for listening to Filling in the Gap Rerolled. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Speaking of today, our theme music is Today by Linby off their album Drive. If you like it, you can hear more from them at linby.bandcamp.com or their actual play podcast Bombarded. Both are great, and we highly encourage you all to check them out. Side note, if you'd also like to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, that would be great as well. We very much appreciate it, as we are trying to grow and reach more struggling DMs or players out there. You can find all of us on Twitter. I am at DM Mambo 5.
You can find me at Daedra 18. That is Daedra 18.
You can find me at The Ruler of Rhyme.
And the show's handle is FITG D&D. We also have a Discord server, which should be attached to our Twitter. If not, we'll put it there, because we are always looking for new themes and scenarios to add to our list, and we'd love some new Hive Mind members. Last note of this outro is that the show is edited by our audio gremlin, Andrew. You can follow them at xnubinator912x and interact with all of us. We are proud to be a Obtuse Audio Studios podcast, and you can learn more about them at obtuseaudio.com. And again, I am coming to you asking you to give us a 5-star review on Apple iTunes so we can slowly take over the world. Or, I don't know, climb the charts. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Obtuse Audio.